Hello and welcome to Pixelated Realms Gamescast, your guide through the digital landscape, untangling the mysteries of your favorite titles and discussing the latest and greatest in video game fun. I'm your host, Alex Salerno, and alongside me is my brother Tyler and my good friend Dustin. What's up, guys?
What up? What up? What up?
Hello, hello. Welcome back.
Yes, another fun week in the video game world. What have you guys been up to?
I've been at a wedding, so that was good. Not really a video game, but...
Anything exciting happen? Ideas went as planned?
Everything went as planned, and then it was great. So it was a very enjoyable experience, and now I'm back and ready to play some games. I've still been like pretty heavy into the Warhammer games. I picked up Warhammer Battle Sector, which is like the Warhammer, like similar to the tabletop game, like turn-based game. It's been pretty fun. That's what I've been up to. What about you, Dustin?
I've been doing Easter shit with my kids this weekend, but I did have an opportunity to download the Stellar Blade demo on Friday, and that was really interesting to play in front of my four-year-old and my mom in the living room because there was a lot of ass. But honestly, like, I enjoyed the game. The graphics look great. It gave me like really strong Nier vibes, which is bad for Alex. But no, like super strong Nier vibes. You know, you drop in like in the demo, you drop in on this planet, and like basically like it's just this team of like fighters, and everyone gets wiped out except for you, and you kind of like are fighting this alpha creature, and then you get saved by someone who's been like hiding on the planet. Another, I don't know if they're humans or what technically everybody is yet. But yeah, you get saved by someone who's like you. And you kind of like are going to try to complete whatever your mission was. So you start like kind of like going around the planet. You kind of run into these like stations. That's your save points. Or check marks throughout the game, but it's pretty cool because each one it's like it's set up by the people who used to live on Earth, and it's like a vending machine, and the vending machine is where you can like buy your upgrades. There's like
That's also similar to Nier, right?
Yeah.
Nier had something like that.
Yeah, and then like there's like a chair you can sit down in, and that's like you rest and save there, and it regenerates your health. There's a radio there that you can actually change the songs that you're listening to in the game. And then there's like one other thing. I don't know exactly what it is, but you can you access your talent tree. So in Nier, like if I'm remembering correctly, like you don't really like get new moves throughout the game. Like you have your set moves, you kind of learn those. Where like in this game, you have like a very extensive talent tree that reminded me of Spider-Man 2. So you're going to like pick up a ton of moves throughout the game. So for someone like me who like hates remembering like 50 different fucking combinations, I just like to settle in on like, you know, maybe five different moves I do consistently. I'm not super excited about this like deep talent tree where it's like, oh, block or like a dodge. Perfect dodge on crack, you know? And it's like every time you like unlock the next step, like it gives you another step, but like it's, you know, more impactful.
I heard, I saw a thing that was saying it was like, it was a little bit more like Sekiro-esque. And I was like, that's great. That's a great sign because Sekiro was technically awesome.
Yeah, I didn't play Sekiro, but I did see some people talking about that online. I also saw a lot of people comparing it to Bayonetta. I also never played Bayonetta.
Never really got into it,
Yeah, so for me, like, Nier is definitely the closest thing because it has gorgeous music, you know, woman protagonist. Like, you're off on this, like, desolate planet against, like, these creatures who have taken over. Very similar, you know, on Nier, like, it's the robots that have taken over. And so you're there to like liberate the planet. So kind of same vibe there. I would say my big critique, and this is also something I've been seeing online, is like, I don't love the combat play right now. I don't know if it will improve as you unlock more. I found dodging to be very difficult. And I was literally sitting there just like allowing myself to be hit to try to like practice perfect dodge. And like, you really have to do it like at a very, very specific point of attack, which is fair. It's called perfect dodge. But like, if you don't land the perfect dodge, it's very hard to dodge in general. If you, like, you try to like strife left or right to dodge, like the it feels like the NPC will just move with you and strike you.
It so tracks like with you.
Yeah, so you either have to dodge like extremely early. There's this creature like that like winds up and like flies towards you. Like if you don't dodge very early or like perfect dodge, like you're gonna get hit and take damage.
So it just didn't feel quite tuned to you.
Yeah, it didn't feel like very tuned. Again, I don't know if it's because it's the demo and they're gonna like try to fix that a little bit. Probably not, because it's very close to launch. Or if like it's just because not very much of the combat tree has been unlocked. So we'll see. But yeah, the combat felt sluggish for how quickly you actually need to be doing it to be able to do the moves that it's required you to do to last.
Is it one of those games that's like supposed to be difficult? You know, like
Dark Souls is intended to be difficult.
I don't think it's like Souls-esque. I do think like it does give you like story mode versus normal mode, and story mode is like, oh yeah, it's easier. But like I was just playing it normal, and normal says specifically like for people who want a challenge. So I pretty much playing at that same level I was playing Spider-Man 2 at, because that's almost the exact same description that it gives of like someone who wants a challenging combat. I do know that there's supposed to be a harder difficulty. I don't know if it's like when you beat the game unlocks, and
that always
that's
makes
when that,
me
like,
mad though. Just like, give me the harder difficulty up front.
Yeah, well, that's like, when the naked skin unlocks that like was viral like last month. Yeah. It's like you can only get that skin for her if you're playing like a harder difficulty mode. You know, so
motivation.
Yeah, I guess, right? But yeah, no. It, like I said, looks beautiful. Love the music. I want to practice. They do give you a training mode also, so when you pick up a new talent, you can actually go into training mode and practice it in there. So again, I don't know if it was me, it could be because I'm old, or if it's just the game's a little sluggish, but again, the general critique I've also seen is that the combat doesn't quite feel good, and so we'll see when it comes out. But I enjoyed it. Play for like
are you
hour.
Gonna do you think this is something you're gonna play? I mean, this is, you love Nier. So this is going to be a game in your alley.
Yeah, it might be a game I actually pick up, because Nier was like my favorite game that year, and this feels very Nier-esque, and I like kind of hack and slash combat. I'm not like a big turn-based guy, and I'm definitely attracted to games with like a really good soundtrack, so this checks all the boxes for me, so I'll probably buy it.
Cool.
Nice. Cool. Well, before we go on, we're gonna talk about our agenda a little bit. So we're going to talk about the best April Fool's stuff that going on this week. We're also gonna talk about a little bit of housekeeping. So Dustin, you want to explain kind of our future content rollout?
Yeah, definitely. So the team over here, guys, we're trying to figure out ways to bring you exciting more content, or more exciting content from the podcast. We know we dropped the episode for you guys on Tuesdays, and you know we've done clips here and there giving you like short bursts of that podcast when we're talking about specific pieces of content. But we're going to start introducing more short form content for you guys. So thinking of like 60-second burst hot takes that we're going to be rolling out almost on a daily basis. We're going to be doing more like 5-minute like hot topic debates, or like, you know, maybe me and Tyler are on opposite ends of like thinking back to our conversation around Sea of Thieves versus Skull and Bones. I'm trying to make that a more condensed short piece of content that you guys can absorb a little bit easier than having to tune into the entire podcast. So yeah, we're just trying to think of different ways to introduce more content to you guys on a regular basis, to engage with you all, hopefully get you guys to ask us more questions. And then we're obviously still going to do the podcast every week that you guys will get on Tuesdays. But yeah, more to come. Expect to see more
everything. That's what we like to see. I still think we should do the drunk history video games thing.
I refuse to get absolutely plastered to like on fuck camera. Up explaining a game I like or whatever.
I'm near booty.
Something happens.
We gotta do it.
We win. We beat the bad guy.
Well, we'll just get you drunk enough and you'll do it.
Yeah, there's actually a really funny. If you ever see like UFC, there's like a thing where like Snoop Dogg is like commentating like a UFC match.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's just like, oh shit, that guy got kicked in the fucking face. You know? He doesn't know the moves or anything.
Yeah, it's just like winging it.
A fan watching it, you know, who's kind of like casual. So it's pretty funny with stuff like that. But it reminds me of the same kind of thing.
Yeah, cool. So before we move on, first I want to apologize that I'm being kind of quiet because we're filming late again and my daughter is sleeping, so I apologize. And I'm also kind of sick. So hopefully this is the last time this happened. But before we dive in, we just want to say that we really appreciate everyone who follows us and subscribes to us. We post new episodes every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Eastern Central Time on podcast services and YouTube. You can also find us on Instagram, Threads, and most importantly, YouTube at Pixelated Realms Podcast. Also, if you want to ask us a question or leave us a comment, you can go to pixelatedrealms.org/ask and leave us a comment, and we'll talk about it at the end of the show. Right now,
Eastern
we have
Central
a couple...
Time is on a time frame, by the way.
Eastern Standard Time, whatever.
Eastern Central.
Eastern Central Pacific
time. Centralized time. Mountains.
There is a time. Really early Tuesday morning. all right, Tyler, have you been playing Dragon's Dogma still?
Yeah, I have. I didn't get a chance to play much this week, but I've been playing it a little bit. I mean, you know, now that I've seen people have seemed to beat it now and 100% it, and the reviews are coming out, and the general sense just kind of seems to be like it's really good, and it's kind of seems like it was what the dream of Dragon's Dogma 1 was supposed to be. And I'm like, well, that's not a bad thing, you know? So I'm still kind of hopeful. Like, I'm still going to keep playing it. What have you been playing it as well?
I've been playing it a little bit. Just like you guys, I haven't had a ton of time this week. It's just, you know, like holidays and everything. I have a few, I don't know, maybe like 4 or 5 more hours into the game. And like, from what I've heard online and stuff, it's like either you really love it or it's just not for you. Yeah. And I'm still trying to figure out if it's for me or not, and which is weird because it's like I do like the game. I like the adventure. I like the style of the game. I like the fantasy of it and everything like that. But it's just not strong in any particular area, like really strong in any particular area enough for me to be like hooked. You know what I mean? So I'm still like, I mean, I'm pretty far in the game, but I'm like, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. It's not very common
it's
that
like
something like this happens.
Cheesecake Factory. Everything is good, but nothing blows you away.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
What? There's so many things at Cheesecake Factory that blow me away.
The macaroni balls at Cheesecake Factory are the fucking best.
The Buffalo Blasts are really good, but that's
see. Oh my god. See, but it's like it just depends. Like Dragon's Dogma 1 was a really polarizing game too. It was either just for some people or not for others. So.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just a strange experience. Like I never beat Dragon's Dogma 1 because I was just like, I don't get it. What am I supposed to be doing? You know, 2 seems better. So I don't know. I'll keep playing it and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on the same boat. Like I don't regret buying it and I enjoy playing it, but if there's something better that comes along, I'm going to switch. It's kind of where I am right now. So, it's good. It's not great. It's not perfect. But you know what? There's a room for a good game. And you know, this year, no, it's not a bad thing. And this year is a great time to play just, you know, some good game. So, but let's move on to the April Fool's stuff. What have you guys seen all the great April Fool's, you know, comments and stuff like that? I admit I opened up my Threads this morning because I refused to go on Twitter, X, whatever. And I was on Threads this morning and I saw a couple and then I was like, what? That's weird. That's another weird thing. And then by the third one, I was like, that makes sense.
I definitely caught at least one or two and I'm like, what? Oh shit. It's April 1st. It's like on the dot now every year. I don't know. When did this start? Like, wasn't it didn't Blizzard start this whole video game companies doing this April Fool's
probably just
stuff.
Whenever social media started becoming popular, I imagine.
Yeah, I don't think it's a video game specific thing. I think just companies started doing it.
I guess maybe that's just the lens I always saw it through, but I just remember like Blizzard being an early adopter of like doing silly April Fool's jokes.
Yeah.
But either way, there was some good ones this year.
Yeah. So speaking of Blizzard, so this year, hold on, scroll down so I can get it. They announced, what was it, Googly Eye or Googly Eye mode for for Overwatch. And there's like a video of all the characters with like the googly eyes on it.
Yeah, I was gonna say like that's totally one they could do for real as a funny mode, especially to like, you know, let's face it, like Overwatch 2 isn't like just bringing in the players right now, so it could be like a funny thing they actually do. I don't imagine it'd be a huge lift. I'm not a game developer. I don't know. I don't think it'd be a huge lift though to like do a funny like mode of like googly eye mode. So.
Yeah, right. Wonder, do it like all of April.
I want possible than the Nintendo one, which was like a Virtual Boy for Nintendo Switch.
That was
actually got me though. That one got me. Like, I literally opened up IGN tonight, and I was like, "What the fuck? That is awesome!" And I was like, and then like you guys were like, "Oh, it's April 1st." I was like, "Shit."
I was like, the first thing I thought was like, "This is so something Nintendo would do." But why are they doing it? And then by the end of the trailer, I was like, yeah, it's April 1st. Yep. All right.
Yeah,
like you said, like Nintendo does crazy shit like this. So I could totally see Nintendo like actually trying to develop something like this. Oh, they would totally do this shit. Like think about like Labo, right?
Or whatever, I was going to say Labo. It's like very much something that I would have thought was an April Fool's joke.
Outside the box. And like Nintendo actually, like, I don't know if you guys have probably seen this quote, but like Miyamoto has talked about that he likes hiring people who aren't big Nintendo fans or even gamers, because they bring outside the box ideas. Where if you're a huge Nintendo fan, like you come into Nintendo, I want to fix these things instead of being innovative. But like, I could see like this being an idea where like somebody who's like not a gamer, like, oh dude, that'd be fucking wild if you like just wear Switch like VR. Like it's just like something stupid because maybe they saw Meta at GDC and then like Miyamoto been like, actually, that's pretty wild. Yeah.
Well, so like, it's funny because in the trailer, like, I'd say like 3/4 of the way in, the lady puts it on while she's driving her freaking car. And at that point, it's like, wait, what?
That's definitely like
the giveaway. The giveaway.
Making fun of Apple Vision Pro, though, because people, you know, I actually seen someone at GDC. Were you with me, Alex? When we've seen somebody, with my old boss Carrie. We were walking through the park, and this woman was like wearing her Apple Vision Pro, walking her dog, and I was like, "Oh my god, shit! We seen one in the wild. They actually do exist. It's not just a prank we're seeing on social media.
We would see that stuff walking her dog.
That's true.
Like wearing her Apple Vision Pro. It's like." Is that necessary, people? Like, what is this device doing for you?
I really hope they were having a good time, honestly.
I mean, her dog was like running amok because I'm like, she was probably like, I'm wearing this shit. I can't even see my dog. Like, I don't know, dude. It was wild. I was just like, that's just ridiculous. But yeah, there was a bunch of different ones that got revealed. There was like a funny Elden Ring expansion where it just makes the logo bigger.
Oh, yeah. It's just expanding.
Where's that list that just sent you guys?
I think the Super Nintendo, or the, what do they call it, the Virtual Boy Pro, that was an IGN one. IGN always goes really hard, but they'll never beat the Zelda movie trailer that they did.
Didn't they? I'm trying to think of all like the most standout ones over the years, because now there's been quite a few.
I don't know if you've seen that one.
Ghibli Zelda movie is like a running April Fool's joke, and I hate it because that would be so fucking epic if Studio Ghibli made an animated Zelda movie. Like the aesthetic of Studio Ghibli just fits the Zelda aesthetic so perfectly, and they're such great storytellers. Like the potential there is just like, oh my god, this would be so good. Like ideally, you know,
it's almost like it should never be made though. Like it's like almost too perfect. It would like
the expectations would be insane.
Yeah.
Oh my god. It'd have to be like his like final movie, because he'd have to like hide from everybody. Because either it's going to be amazing or it's going to be not good.
I mean, you guys haven't seen the internet for sure.
The old Zelda television show. It's so fucking awesome. It's amazing. I watched the first like 2 episodes on Amazon.
How did we ever get that in existence?
It was just so funny. Like
Link is such a perv.
It was just like
literally trying to bang Zelda the whole time.
They literally like didn't even consider the story. It was like basically they just made like a show, like a medieval show, and were like, wait, we could brand this with Zelda, you know, and like interjected the characters, but they don't act anything like their video game counterparts.
Oh, he so like funny. Literally tries to like jump on her while she's like on a
oh
bed.
Yeah, that's you in know, the first like... episode. He like tries to like jump her, and it's like, that is really weird, dude. And
dude, they get away with okay. weird shit in the 80s. Like,
yeah, I mean, we'll probably be dead by then, but like, it'll be interesting when like that kind of stuff goes into
Creative Commons,
public domain, or whatever it's called. Yeah, where like anybody can just start making like Zelda fucking content. It's like, oh, we're gonna see some crazy shit. But
especially because AI will be like really strong by then, and people will just be typing out Zelda blah 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 movie.
My Zelda posted. Fanfic movie can finally be made.
Yes, exactly. Speaking of which, did you see Pokemon is holding an epic Pokemon Sleep tournament to end all tournaments?
Sign me up.
I did see that.
I'll beat anyone any day.
We'll compete in an 8-hour and 30-minute tournament to prove they can sleep better than anyone else.
Just, God. I mean, no one's going to beat Snorlax. So
no one's going to beat Snorlax, so just get right out.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Cyberpunk, 97,000 diskettes for floppy edition of the game. That was pretty funny.
How many 97,000 floppy disks version of Cyberpunk?
97,619, 3.5.
How much do you think it would cost for all that plastic?
Like, it'd be like, I don't know, like half the Pacific Ocean.
It'd be another PR nightmare for Cyberpunk of like, wow, least. What is it? Sustainable ever.
Eco-friendly, yeah.
Least very, eco-friendly. Yeah, least eco-friendly ever banned from Game Awards.
Wish list now at CP2077 floppy edition. Wait, I gotta click this link and see where it takes you.
Yeah, the only other one that... Well, there's like the Power World dating sim.
Does it say how much square footage I need to store those floppy disks?
Oh, it just says April Fools. It says Wake Up Samurai, April Fools.
But yeah, the only other one that really stood out that I thought was interesting was the Razer C'Thun chair.
That was
like eight AI arms that like can feed you and like probably wipe your ass.
Yeah,
like Cthulhu. Yeah, to do but, your bidding. Like the origin of Doc Ock, right there.
For real, but yeah, you know, April Fools is always interesting because it always gets me in the, and then I'm like, oh well, yeah, let's see, because like we talked about, to kick the segment off, like I do think that some of these things, like companies, are actually like, could we do this? Could we actually make this in some way? You know, and it's Razer actually does this every year. I worked with Razer for a while, and at CES, they will basically put out like four items. Two of them are kind of like a joke, and then like two of them are like real, but based on like reception, I think they kind of just like, do we want to actually try to make this? I think that was kind of like with their mask the first time they introduced it. I was like, is this like people really want this? Like, let's see if we can do it. So I mean, I wouldn't say like they're jokes, like everything that they're putting out at CS, like they're actively thinking about, but like I think people know that like some of the more like wild ideas probably are never actually going to come out.
We were just talking about the Xbox fridge and how that seemed like it was like a meme. People were like, this thing looks like a fridge. And somebody at Xbox was like, yo, can we make this work?
I was like, about to say, was it not like an April Fool's joke? Because that was definitely like a joke that became a reality.
No, somebody just took the idea and ran with it, and good on them, honestly, for making it fun.
Yeah, too bad it's a piece of shit.
Too bad it's not actually a fridge, yeah.
I don't think that was the point.
Cooler or whatever that you can't even, you're not even supposed to have it plugged in all the time. You plug it in when you need it, which by that point, like, I'll just go down and get a cooler.
That doesn't make, that makes no sense.
Actual fridge.
Yeah.
It's not a, but, what was our other? Oh, you know, smooth though, transition to Xbox items that might be unlikely, though. Go ahead first, Tyler. What are you going to say?
I know. I'm just saying, I feel like it's getting a little ridiculous, the April Fool's thing. Like, at this point, it's just like every company, it's like, if it's creative and well worth it, like it's cool. But like, I feel like now companies just feel obliged to do one. And like,
100%.
You know, and it's like, it's like, an obligation to like comedy, which means like is contradictory. I don't know. It's just like, it's like when they say like, you know, like, yeah, it's like, It's like a corporation having feelings. I don't know. It's just weird.
It's like a corporation. Well, there, you know, people work at these companies. There are humans in there somewhere.
It would be cool to see, like, a company, like, put something out, again, that, like, feels a little bit realistic, and then the next day be like, just kidding, it's actually real. You can go buy it now. Oh, that's kind of dope. So that'd be kind of cool. It'd be, like, think about it, it'd actually be excellent marketing. You know, like, you would get, like, another whole wave of coverage of your April Fool's joke if it was real.
Mm-hmm. I think the...
someone did that, I thought.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sure it's been done. I feel like the Power World joke could actually be something that, like, gets released. The Pow World, like, tweeted, that they're releasing Just Pals, or sorry, Pow World More Than Just Pals, the dating sim, and they put out a video where it's kind of like one of those interactive stories that you see that are like adult,
like Doki Doki Literature Club.
Yeah, exactly, like one of those, and it, but you know, all the pals are the people up in it, and it's like, here's a quote, a flirty senpai who wants all the boys, you know, and it's like that. One of the pals, like, it's so cringy, but it's
so
hilarious.
We need a word for, like, furry Pokemon people. Is that a whole new?
I'm sure,
like,
I don't think there's anything new about that. New... I think that's existed
already
for a long time.
I just don't know.
Rule 34.
I think there's already a whole community of people, like, in that zone.
Yeah, I'd actually be nervous to, like, search, like, something like that. Nine on, like, Facebook. There's
any
definitely
of
like a Facebook
don't
group.
Any of that in your feed. And then all your ads
targeted
are like
marketing.
I know, right? No. You're like, what the fuck did you send me? Yeah, that's all bad. That's not good. But now, let's say transition into conversation about like something that might be likely or not from Xbox is like these handheld rumors. Like, I mean, like the first thing, like I'm kind of asking myself is like, do we need it at this point? Like, is it really necessary? Like, we have Switch, like we have Steam Deck, we have some other ones that are out there as well floating around. I mean, everything that you can play on Xbox, PC, like you can pretty much get on Steam Deck, right? So it's like, does Xbox need to put resources into a handheld, or should they just focus on making a console that actually truly competes with PlayStation?
Go ahead.
I find this a really interesting rumor. I'm not surprised, but just because I feel like it's like the thing to do right now. Like, everyone's coming out with this handheld. Steam has one. PlayStation has one. You know, they're everywhere. And but it, like you said, it's like, do we really need all of these things? Because there's already a place for these. I just looked it up because I could have sworn. I was like, I'm pretty sure there already is one that can play Xbox games. And I looked it up, and the Logitech G Cloud Gaming handheld is on the Xbox site. And you can, I guess, play through the cloud their games on it. So it's like they already have one of these. It's just not made in-house. It's through Logitech. But like,
well, it seems unlikely then that they're going to make one.
I think it's going to happen.
I mean, Phil Spencer, like, pretty much, like, all but, it's, I mean, some of the articles I've seen, like, pretty much all but confirmed that Xbox is working on one, or Microsoft's working on one, so.
What's the point? I don't see the point. Like, why not just, like, partner with Valve on the Steam Deck or something like that? You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe they don't like each other or something. But yeah.
Is there a Microsoft VR? I don't think there is, right? Like, Facebook. Meta's not associated with.
Not that I know.
No, wait. There's the Steam. Yeah, Vivian. Not Vivian.
No, Steam has one.
Steam has one.
Steam VR. There's HTC Vive. I don't know if Vive is actually still a thing or not.
I think it is. The Index is the Steam one. The Quest. PlayStation has the VR2, but that was a huge flop. But
yeah,
I mean,
I'd rather see them do that. Like, create like a cool VR headset or like AR, XR headset than, I mean, they had HoloLens, right? And it was totally, that even come out.
I think making a pure VR headset right now against Meta would be a mistake because Meta has such a grip on that industry. But AR is still kind of untapped. And the Apple Vision isn't really, you know, the price point is just not competitive.
It's not accessible.
Not at all.
So, but yeah, the HoloLens kind of died out, and it looked really cool, and I think they had a lot of really good ideas for it, and I would just wonder if the technology just wasn't there, or it was too expensive, and they were going to be like, release it for $3,000, kind of like the Apple headset is, and that's just not their market.
we saw at GDC, and like this is something I actually saw popping up around it, is that like VR is finally at a stage where it feels like it's starting to be accepted as a actual gaming platform that people want to develop on, people want to actually game on. Because there was a lot of VR, XR stuff at GDC. So, you know, I think it's trending in that direction. I think, you know, there's still some things I need to work on in terms of like motion sickness, things like that. But I mean, Niantic had a really interesting booth where you could play some AR games. I'm working with a client called Lucky Juice Box. They have a really interesting AR game coming out this summer. So there's like, you know, a lot of people developing XR products. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes. But yeah, I'd rather see like a competitor against Quest than another handheld. But that also comes from someone who doesn't like handheld gaming that much.
Yeah. I mean, I have the Steam Deck and I never play it. And I like, it's like one of my regrets. And
it's great for travel. Like, if you travel a lot, they're awesome to have a handheld Switch.
Yeah.
But if you don't travel, especially Steam Deck, like Switch, I get because it's Nintendo. There's a ton of IP that you can only play on that.
Yeah,
it's more than just the handheld.
But if you're a PC gamer, do you really need a Steam Deck for home? Like, I feel like it's redundant, you know? So
yeah,
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I got it for travel, and when I travel, I don't find myself playing it that much. I do other things. Actually, I have a Backbone which plugs into my phone, and I use that more than I do the Steam Deck. And I'll just play either like through the PlayStation Link app. I forgot what it's called.
Yeah.
I'll play my PlayStation. I can play that as long as I have a Wi-Fi. It'll play my PlayStation, or I'll just download a game that's not a shit mobile game, and play it on there. Like I have Mega Man X on there, and I'll play that on there or something. Like.
Do you ever think about getting like the attachment control? Like Razer, for instance, has like the Kishi that like clips onto your phone.
That's what the Backbone is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's like this.
Interesting. Cool. So, yeah, same thing.
And it costs, you know, a third as much as the Steam Deck. But if Xbox does come out with the handheld, how much do you think it's going to be? It's got to be competitive.
It's going to be the same price, probably like $500.
Yeah. Let me see. Steam Deck is at the OLED version.
I think it's like 700.
Let's see.
Something like that. It might be over.
The cheapest one is 400.
Yeah.
And then you could get up to 650, which is like the 1 terabyte OLED.
I just don't know what they could offer that would be any different than anything that's out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be like Xbox Pass, whatever, you know, driven, but. There's no reason I would be excited to purchase that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and is it going to be cloud enabled? So are you going to be required to be connected to the internet to use it? So is it just going to be a thin client, or is it going to be like these, that's actually a actual hardware, right? Cause I know they're pushing the cloud stuff right now really hard. So I could see them coming out with like, hey, here's $100 really small thing, but it has to be connected to the internet to work.
Mm-hmm. And I would only even consider it if I could do offline gaming. Because, yeah, if you're on a plane or in a hotel, or I mean, usually you have Wi-Fi, but you know, playing, you have to pay extra for that. So I don't know if I want to do that or not. So if I can like download onto my device and play offline,
that's then a no-no.
Definitely be less likely to buy it. But for me, like, it's like, yeah, I'll just buy a Switch. Like, that's my Switch time. It's like if I'm on a plane or I'm in a hotel, especially if I'm traveling for work. And like I don't have family and all that, you know. But if you're if you're on like a family vacation, like you're not gonna be doing handheld either, you know. So
it's like the Switch just like covers it, you know. Like
yeah.
And the new one's coming out this year supposedly. So like I would find this a very difficult year to release a handheld because everyone's gonna buy the Switch 2, whatever it ends up being called.
Yeah, I know it's exciting. Like, actually, 2 months because
my Switch is like 7 or 8 years old now. What, 6 or 7 years old? Yeah,
really? Did it come out that long ago?
I got mine the day it was released in North America,
March 3rd, 2017.
So well, 6 years.
Wow,
7 years
doesn't even feel that old.
It really doesn't.
Wii U came out in 2012. That's wild. I mean. Again, I'd rather see Xbox put their resources towards something else than a handheld. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, Xbox has been, you know, trying to just play the big game. They're trying to get their stuff out as everywhere that they possibly can. Though I find this an interesting decision because I would have actually would have guessed that they're trying to make less hardware and, you know, license out their systems to other people, like try and get it out there as much as possible. But
I feel like Xbox is a, like Cheesecake Factory, where they just don't do anything amazing. It's just a lot of good stuff. Nothing blows your way.
You know, their macaroni balls are really good.
Deja vu. Did we have this conversation?
Yeah, that sounds like something we've talked about before. Oh. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't see this coming out and, you know, blowing anybody's socks off. If it does come out,
it's probably at least 2 years away too. If they were to actually, I mean, like from the way it was described, you know, it's like, oh, like, yeah, this is something like we're thinking about. But, you know, like I was going to say, like May is when you're going to start seeing a lot of like games get announced and things get announced for fall timeframe. And then we'll obviously stuff at Summer Games Fest in June. So April will probably be very quiet in terms of games announcements, but yeah. By mid-May through mid-June, like we're going to start seeing like what are the rest of the Game of the Year contenders. Are there going to be any big hardware announcements?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, getting close to the exciting time of the year for gaming news.
Yeah, which is good for us because we've had a couple of slow weeks. And so it's like, you know, we're so used to having, like, the last couple years have been so fire for the, like, video games. It's like we had coming off of, I want to say, was God of War 2019 the first one? I want to say that was 2019.
From that year,
I felt like every year up until this year was just like banger. It was like God of War, Ghost, you know, all the Horizon games, the Spider-Man games. Like there was all, and that's just PlayStation. There's been a lot of really good games
coming out in the last couple of years. I mean, it's been really exciting. Regardless of some of the crap that's come out, there's also been a lot of really, really top-notch stuff.
Yeah.
Like Final Fantasy 16. I mean, you know,
28. Sorry.
Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth was pretty fire, and you know, now Integrate and now Rebirth, you know. I mean, there's just been, it's a good time to be a gamer, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, this May, we're a month
IGN's
away.
IGN also doesn't know what to talk about, though, because I see this article right here. The mini golf version of beer pong is on sale today on Amazon. So they're also a little light over there.
What did we post? I don't know. That's why they have all this time to make their videos about the fake Nintendo Switch or Virtual Boy.
the other, really quickly, April Fool's joke. Some people are like kind of tilted because I guess Hollow Knight Silksong, people have been waiting for that game for a long time.
That's still not out.
And I guess they put up an Xbox store page today as an April Fool's joke.
Oh my God, that's evil.
Fans don't know how to think. Like it says the headlines, fans don't know how to fill. Where it's like, you motherfuckers.
It's kind of evil, man.
I mean, but that's
hopefully
like,
that is one. Like tomorrow, it's actually like the store page is real and the game is coming out like at this day.
That would be pretty smart.
Because they have to know, like guys, what, like either like they are completely just not reading the room correctly, or like this is the start of like their real announcement campaign.
Yeah, I mean that would be brilliant, and we will find out tomorrow. So maybe we'll talk about it next week and be like, "You remember when we said this was a joke? Wasn't a joke, or it is a joke, and everyone's pissed."
Yeah. Definitely. The real joke is Alex boycotting X, but then leasing a Tesla.
Yeah, I know.
No comment.
Hey, you know what? I have nothing. Yeah, we're probably not going to continue the lease, just to say.
To say the least.
You know, I got an email this morning that said that the full driver mode, like full self-driving mode, I think it's like FSM or something. Is unlocked in my car and I didn't pay for it, but they're like, hey, you'll get a trial mode, and I'm like, I do not want to fucking try that.
Yeah,
like, I like the auto driver because it just keeps you in the lane. It's not very smart, but I don't trust this car for a full get me from home to wherever. It's not that good. It's not. There's too many little things in the car that don't work right that I'm like, I don't trust this.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Scary. Yeah. Scary. I'm not ready for self driving. It's 10 years away before I trust that shit.
I'm ready for it, but I'm not ready for a ketamine addict to tell me I should be doing it.
Well, yeah, I want the technology. I just don't trust the technology yet.
Yeah. Cool. So. Well, I think now's a good time to go to our Pixelated Realm Ask. We have a couple questions courtesy of Ralph, as always. He's keeping our
fire going.
Yeah, our / ask afloat single-handedly over here.
Thanks, Ralph.
My current video game crush is
now. Yeah, each week. It's just going to be repetitive question. What is Dustin's crush of the week? Is that our new segment? Is that your bit?
Yeah, it's my bit.
Best waifus in video games, part 20.
I could definitely make that a segment.
Yeah, you should totally make that a bit. We got to get Ralph on the show. Ralph, join us on the show. I keep asking him and he keeps saying no. All right. So Ralph, he writes in questions at pixelatedrealms.org/ask, just like you could do. And he says, in your opinion, what is the greatest handheld gaming device or the one that meant the most to you? What was the first game you ever played on a handheld device? I think it's a great question.
Ooh. Okay. I think the greatest handheld gaming device is the Switch, probably. But my favorite handheld gaming device is, of course, the Game Boy Color, because Alex and I were taken to the mall when we were very little kids in the 90s to go buy ours, and we had to coordinate. There was only two colors, so we had to figure out which color we wanted. Alex got the see-through, I got the dark purple, and I got blue version, and he got red version, and was the first console I ever owned. So yeah, that was a huge, that was like one of the most important consoles I ever owned in my entire life.
Oh, that's such a good one. I don't think I can top that. I think you're right. Like, I remember that so distinctly. Like, I mean,
I will never forget that.
No, it was such a big deal then too. It was different. You didn't have the internet where you could just order whatever the fuck you wanted. You had to track one of those babies down.
Yeah. I remember it was like specifically like a special booth at the mall. We didn't like go to like a game store. It was like
some random pop-up
booth. It was like they like Pokemon literally like, yeah, like they had a pop-up booth. You would go and buy your Game Boy and Pokemon, and there was just stacks of them, you know?
Yeah,
and it was. And I just remember like I remember our dad saying like, you know, you can open it when you get home. And I'm just like, oh, you know, I can't. Yeah. I gotta open it right now.
Yeah, like freaking out. No, shout out to the PSP. I had a PSP, and that thing, I think people...
It was a workhorse.
It was a great system. I think it was ahead of its time. I think they need to bring back the PSP. Fuck all these other massive mega handhelds. Give me that little Sly Boy with the, you know, that...
It got
that
some good games on it.
Yeah, that was really cool. That one was slept on. But
what
I
about
mean,
you, Dustin? What do you think?
I gotta go with the Game Boy Color also. I mean, like, obviously the Switch is the best handheld ever. Like,
yeah.
I actually didn't even like think about Switch. I was like going back to old Game Boys. So, like, I heard the question.
Game Boy Advance, yeah, shout out.
It's gotta be Color. I think I had the purple one also, and for me it was Pokemon Yellow. And it's actually like fucking crazy that like the original Pokemon games like carried handhelds so hard.
Yes.
Oh, they created the industry of handhelds, essentially. Yeah, right. I mean, the Game Boy existed, but it was like Tetris and some, you know, more simple games.
I mean, Pokemon. Without Pokemon, you really have to wonder, like, where would handhelds be in today's market?
Where would Nintendo be?
Yeah.
I mean, shout out to the Game Boy Advance, too. That was a great console. I mean,
is that the one that was a flip?
No, that's the DS.
No, that was the Game Boy Advanced S. That was the one that flipped.
Yeah, I had the flip for a little while.
That was my favorite Game Boy Advanced. But shout out to the DS too for just like also being creative. You know, like a lot of that stuff on the DS with the two screens like flopped really hard. But like you got to give them points for like being creative.
I don't know.
WarioWare, Nintendo, right? Nintendo. Yeah. Always trying to think outside the box.
I don't the world I would ends even with say you. It flopped, though. It was they were still making 3DSs until like a couple years ago.
But they didn't all work. But there was some games that were just so creative that it was just like a really great experiment in general.
Yeah, 2020. So, they stopped making them in 2020.
As of September 2022, the Nintendo 3DS family of systems combined have sold 75.94 million units. So definitely that's not insane. Bad.
Yeah.
That's insane. Yeah. Bring me back to the, you know what? I was actually, what are those, what was that thing that like, they just, a bunch of them got stolen recently? Those like little Game Boy kind of like mobile game they call like Play Me or something.
Never heard of that.
And
I was like, no, Tamagotchis?
Play.
Like that emulator one I have?
Play It or something? Playdate? Is that it? Is that called a Playdate? Yeah, Playdate. It's like this little, it kind of looks like a thick Game Boy, and it's all black and white and has a little crank on the side. And I was like, it's kind of niche because it doesn't have that many games for it. I think they're like, got like, I don't know, like 30 games. But I was like, I kind of want these like little pocket games again. Hey, Tyler, yeah. Actually, didn't you just buy?
Yeah.
Like a little Game Boy.
It's an emulator. It looks like a Game Boy, but it's an emulator preloaded that was shipped to me from a country that can do that sort of thing. And yeah, it's awesome. It's freaking great. Like, it's a perfect idea.
Yeah, if Xbox comes out with a handheld, I want them to come out with something like that. Like, give me something unique that can only play games on that weird little console. I don't need this, like, computer in my pocket. I want, like, a... like this like fun little mobile
thing.
Simple
functional device.
Yeah,
you know what I've seen at GDC, I think they had a booth and we missed it. I think we talked about this last week, but the X-Real glasses, like if you could make that into like a more functional console kind of style, or so X-Real glasses, like you put them, they look like sunglasses, you put them on and like it has a screen inside, like you're watching like your TV. And that actually, like, the quality is fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. And what my client does is he plugs his PlayStation into his, he's mirrors it onto his iPad, and then he has his iPad play onto those X-Rails, so he can play PlayStation 5 through the glasses while sitting on his couch. And they look awesome. But yeah, if like you could do something like that where like you could have like the handheld, but then it came with like sunglasses like that where you project it onto the screen. And I was like, dude, this would be fucking awesome.
Dude, this is super cool. This is some shit that my father-in-law would like.
Yeah, dude, really cool. I wish they weren't $450 for like the pros, but I guess there's another one that's $300 and you can get like a pack with it. But yeah, it doesn't have any actual software inside. It's just the screen. And then, like, you tether to, you know, whatever you want to show on it. But really fucking cool. And the quality is awesome. Like, my client showed me, like, a picture of, like, his, like, niece or something on it. And I was like, dude, this is, like, literally, like, watching TV, but with sunglasses on.
Wow.
I didn't know this was, like, a thing.
Yeah, they were on the show floor, dude. We somehow missed it. They were, like, demoing this.
I didn't see these at all.
It's weird because we walked that shit, like, 6 times.
I know we did.
But yeah, they're really cool.
Cool.
Shout out to David.
Yeah.
Good question.
All right, there's another one. This is from Ralph is Cool. There is or used to be a stigma surrounding video games and how video games make people violent. Obviously, it doesn't. But he says, "Do you still hear that stigma, or what is another stereotype gamers get? Is it true or not?"
I mean, that stigma is around still in the sense that, like, people trying to use video games as scapegoats for other problems will be around for eternity. So I'll just that'll sum that up. As long as there is something to be used as a scapegoat, it will be used as a scapegoat. The other video game myths, I mean, I'm just glad that video games aren't quote nerdy anymore, and that seems to, like, oh well, now you can make money playing video games, well, and suddenly
they are
it's
nerdy,
cool,
but nerdy is cool now.
Nerdy's cool, so I'm glad. Yeah. You know, I'm glad that happened.
We won the war
Take that, jocks.
We lost many battles, but we won the war
for democracy.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's just funny. Like, it's just all about money, right? As soon as money gets involved, man, suddenly something can become a lot more appealing to the masses.
Yeah, there's still, like, jackasses who, like, hate it. Like, I like Colin Cowherd. He's a sports commentator for Fox. He was at ESPN for a long time. When they first started covering esports, he went on this huge rant about like how he'll quit if he ever had to cover like these kids in their basements who've never had a girlfriend playing like video games. Yeah. And it's like that still exists, and it's obviously extremely misinformed. Yeah. Super misinformed. On this topic, actually, Joe Lieberman, who was like a huge anti-gaming senator, died last week. Maybe this is where the question kind of came from Ralph. He died, and he was somebody, I guess, in the 80s and 90s who was like a huge anti-video game. Like they're responsible for violence. And he gets a lot of hate, but I actually seen this person for the ESRB, the rating for video games, like a nonprofit or whatever. And I guess he was actually like a huge part of that becoming a thing. And then through the 90s, actually was a huge supporter of like, hey, like parents, like use this thing. It's one of the most thorough rating systems out there. Like, it's a great way to inform your decisions on what games you buy for your kids. So weird, because like he gets a lot of hate even now from gamers, but I don't think a lot of people know that he actually was a big supporter of like ESRB becoming a thing. And you know, he wasn't necessarily anti-gaming. He was just kind of like, parents, it's your responsibility to regulate what your kids are playing. Your 10-year-old probably shouldn't be playing Call of Duty. And even now, as a huge gamer, like I support that, you know, like I don't think like 10-year-olds should be blasting heads in COD. So yeah,
I'm not sure an 8-year-old should be playing GTA just yet.
Yeah. My wife played GTA when she was young and she's totally normal.
Yeah. All right, case proven. Don't play GTA. Yeah.
She still talks about that, how she thinks that might have made her have her dark humor that she has. But no, actually, I read this a long time ago. I don't know if it still holds up, but when this was like still very much a thing where people are like, video games make you violent, because that was for a very long time, like the rhetoric. People really, truly thought that. And so they did a study on it, and the study ended up concluding that video games, if you're already not a violent person, video games do not make you any more violent. But if you have violent tendencies, it can put you in a place that makes you violent. So it's like, basically, the way that I read into that, though, is that if you're already a violent person, anything will make you fucking violent. And if you're not a violent person, you're not going to be violent. So basically, it's not going to do anything different than the fucking rest of the world.
Right. I mean, like, so, like, that doesn't apply to, like, a sports game, you know, for that exactly. violent person. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, so, yeah, if they're in some heated situation that's not a video game, they're still going to get violent. So,
yeah.
There's a really interesting conversation about this as it ties to anime, actually. Not to go off on a huge tangent, but in terms of, like, the pedophilia vibe put out by a lot of anime by over sexualizing like minors, and like people, like there's like this whole video about it, and like basically like the person is saying that by having like this kind of pedophilia like actions in anime, it could actually help people who want to commit those crimes in real life not do it, because they're able to satisfy this like craving inside anime.
That's a complex really argument.
Weird fucking take. But I kind of like feel the same thing, where it's like, if you're like a pedo, then like some of the anime might like trigger you. But if you're not a pedo, then you're, because like personally, like, I love anime, I love waifus, but like I never even connect the dot when I'm watching this stuff of like, what's the age of the character, like, or you know, like every one of you right now in One Piece is like, Bonnie's only 12, but she looks like someone in their mid 20s. I'm like, dude, it's a fucking anime, like such a weird.
I mean, the fact that she's 12 doesn't make her. Like, she's a fucking cartoon. She's not 12 years old. She's not even 20 years old. She's 15 minutes old.
It's not real. But yeah, anyway, sorry. I don't want to like go off. This is an anime podcast. But yeah, it just made me think of that, like the whole violence in video games thing. Where I mean, like,
it's just like, it depends on what you're getting from the video game, you know? I mean, like, it's just a ridiculous notion, right? It doesn't really make any sense. I mean, everyone's going to take things differently. So, like, just like Speed Racer was considered a blasphemous, crazy TV show at one point.
Gonna make
time.
You into a racer.
You know, I don't know. It's
your car down the street.
It's just people who, like, live their lives based on fear and, like, trying to convince others to act a certain way because they're worried about other people's reactions. I don't know. Either way, I don't give a crap. what you think, if that's the kind of fear mongering you do.
Yeah, have you guys seen that trailer? This is, let's see, I'm looking at it. This game came out in 2015. It's called Hatred.
The trailer is
fucking insane, and it's just like this guy like going on this massive killing spree, and he's just like, I fucking hate everything, and I'm just gonna kill everyone. And like, it was like, god damn, like that's kind of irresponsible. Like, even if someone who doesn't believe like gaming causes violence, it's just like, right, that's fucking like, this shit is next level. But I'm looking,
you're like, maybe this is a little on the edge.
At least it's not like a first person game. It's like an isometric top down game. I'm looking at it right now because I was like, oh my god.
It's got 15,000 reviews and it's a 4.5-star on Steam though. It's only $5.99 now. But, like, yeah, we watched this, and, like, we had this friend at the time who, like, really, like, kind of thinks this way. He just, like, hates everybody. And I'm just like, dude, this is, like, literally that guy.
He's like, gonna, not like, good for you, dude. Not good for you.
Yeah, like, don't play this. You're normalizing it. And but, yeah, if you've never seen the trailer after we log off here, like, watch it. It's just like, oh, shit. Like, this is fucking wild.
Like, heavy metal shit right here. You know what this makes me think of is, like, Bully. The game by Rockstar, right? That was really divisive when it came out too, because people were like, is this promoting? Yeah, no, right? They were like, is Bully 2 ever going to come out? Being people are, you know, unsure because of the climate, the social climate right now. And yeah, it came out, and like, you're literally a bully in like high school, and you bully the shit out of other kids. Like, that's the whole game. And so I can see there being an argument for certain games and certain extremes. But
yeah, there's actually like lists of them. There's like a game called Postal. There's like all the, you know, that's a whole nother video, folks.
Well, I mean, like, let's just like read this. Like, hatred fills your body. You're sick and tired of humanity's worthless existence. The only thing that matters is your gun and your pure Armageddon that you want to unleash. You will go out for hunt. You will clear the New York outskirts of all humans with cold blood. You will shoot. You will hurt. You will kill. You will die. And it's like, god damn,
not okay, man. Not in America. don't be.
I don't know though. Here's the thing, is like, it's just a game. I don't think I could see, you know, a normal person who's not already gonna be fucking weird play this kind of game and like go out and murder a bunch of people. But that's the thing, right?
It its audience is that like kind of on edge person that like
is already thinking about it.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, like, is some school shooter gonna fucking play this game and be like, oh, like, I'm not gonna go on a school shooting rampage now because I hatred fill that niche for me, you know, like in terms of like the anime argument. But yeah, I don't know, I again, like, I'm fine with the GTAs and shit, but I do think this level of like just pure targeting like people who want to just like go out and cause just like Joker chaotic hate. You know, it's like, I don't know. I feel like that's responsible development. But it looks like they made a lot of money because it's got a shit ton of positive reviews.
9 out of 10 rating on Steam. I mean, that's pretty incredible. But yeah,
pretty big tangent from the original question at this point.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess you're right, because like in GTA, the point of the game isn't just to kill people. You kill people
usually helping like your family or something. Like,
right. It gives you the option to do so, but it's not like, hey, you should go murder all these innocent people. You know, it's not like
genocide. Yeah.
No. Do you remember when Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 came out? And it was like, there was a warning at the very beginning of the game that said, hey, there's some sensitive content in this game.
It was.
Do you want to enable it or disable it? And of course, that was, you know, remember No Russians moment where you go and basically like go on a shooting spree in an airport. And that was very intense at the time and controversial. And the point in the game, though, wasn't to kill the innocent people. It was to show how awful it was. The narrative. It was honestly like you were in the shoes of that character, but it was to show you how fucking awful it was, and how it was supposed to make you feel bad. Like it wasn't there to make you like live out that fantasy. You were supposed to feel like shit. But they literally gave you a warning that said like, hey, you can skip this part and you could skip that level. Like it would just pop right over it. It would just say like, hey, this event happened in the game, but you don't have to participate.
It's interesting the games try to do that. So I worked on Battlefield 1, which is about World War 1, which was like a very devastating war, a lot of death. You know, one of the probably the bloodiest war ever, maybe. Mm-hmm. But when you start that game, it forces you into a demo that's basically like, you play from different soldier perspectives, and it's impossible to live.
Like, yeah, you always you do die. Literally get killed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Every time you die, and it's basically to show you just how absolutely atrocious that war was, and that, like, you know, you had a much higher chance of dying than living. And so it was interesting because that's exactly what they were going for. They wanted you to feel the emotion of the character and be mm-hmm. like overly helpless it is.
Yeah. Well, intense. What a way to end the show. I'm trying to think of something more positive, but
we always end on a weird, like,
we really me do
bitching about something or now this like odd.
Like, Dustin, what's morbid. Your what's the waifu of the week?
Obviously Eve from Stellar Blade.
Okay. There you go.
I nailed it.
All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening. Don't forget to follow or subscribe to be notified when we post new episodes. We post new episodes every Tuesday at 8 a.m. at Eastern Standard Mountain Pacific time on podcast services and YouTube. You can also find us on Instagram Threads and YouTube at Pixelated Realms. Thank you very much.